Attention Guilford County, are you ready for positive change in our schools? Introducing Bill Goble, a true champion for our students, parents, and teachers. With years of experience and unwavering dedication, Bill Goble is the leader we need on the school board. As a current member representing District 3, Bill is already making a difference, shaping policies that benefit our community. Vote for Bill Goble for school board, and let's build a brighter future for Guilford County together. Paid for by the committee to elect Bill Goble for school board.
Coming up in this episode of Finding Common Ground.
The guy
is not the sharpest tack in the box.
Dog Goble? Please don't mention a name.
No name.
Go ahead. It's really insulting in a crazy way.
He wanted you to stand up for Mark to be more black.
No, to beat Mark up in the national media.
Oh.
Because of his comments and everything else, which I don't agree with.
There are two sides to every coin.
How do we deal with racial issues when they affect relationships?
Finding common ground on all those issues that we come against.
There's black and there's white.
And I think as Christians, we have to learn how to get together because we're not in heaven.
I've met more interesting people just by God just bringing them in.
Republicans. And Democrats.
But a lot of times, when it comes to race and it comes to culture and it comes to perception, even as Christians, we don't always understand. We look at it through our lenses.
There's Bill.
I grew up in a suburb of Cleveland called Parma.
Any black people in Parma?
There was not one.
Not one black person,
not
Bill?
Not one.
Come on, Bill. You got to have one. A token black person?
And there's Odell.
I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina. Public housing, single mom, divorced single mom of four kids. And I came up through segregation and all that kind of stuff.
If a black person drove through the town, the police would stop and escort them out.
Bill and Odell are finding common ground.
A part of what we have to do is listen to each other, find the common ground, and question, not questioning you like you're on a witness stand, but questioning you for a better understanding.
Father God, we just say thank you for your grace and your mercy, God. God, you've just been so good to me and my family over the years and all that's going on. We just still say we thank you and we praise you, God. God, we just know that when you look at everything that's going on in our country at this time, we just say we are still believing in you, and we still say the words, in God we trust, in God we trust. So God, continue to allow us to be the hands and feet of God to make a difference as we continue to bring people together to find common ground.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just lift up our country as we go through trials and tribulations. This country has been through tremendous trials and tribulations just in my lifetime. Lord, we have to stay focused on you. You're the main thing for the main thing in our country. And we have to stay, as Odell said, in God we trust. And we have to keep doing the next thing and keep moving forward. We'll never be perfect, but we strive to be closer to you. I lift up my wife, Dory, who's going through some medical issues with her thyroid. Lord, we ask for healing and good doctors that help her through the medical issue. Amen.
Bill. Guess what happened to the good-looking, slim and trim black guy, Bill?
I have no idea.
I've been getting calls like I'm a hot date. It's almost like someone put my number in the bathroom at a truck stop and say, for a good time, call Odell.
They caught me.
Man.
They caught me. I doggone it. I didn't think they would catch me.
Man, I've been getting calls. I got a call the other day. Now, let me back up. Let me back up for the audience. So I don't drop you in the middle of the story. As you all know, the state of North Carolina had our primary voting a couple weeks ago. And right now we have for the governor of North Carolina, governor of the United States. People not even calling me about the presidential election and the 16 electoral college votes. They're not calling me about
Mark Walker.
Yeah, no, a little bit of Walker, but they're not calling me about Trump or Biden. They're not calling me about that. They're calling me about Mark Robinson, For those who don't know, Mark Robinson is an African-American male who was the lieutenant governor for the state of North Carolina, and he is the lieutenant governor, excuse me, and he ran and won the primary?
Republican primary.
Republican primary. So for the first time, if he wins, have an African-American as the governor of the state of North Carolina. If he wins, he's a Republican. Black guy who's a Republican. He's running against Josh Stein, who won the Democratic primary for governor for the Democrats. He's white Jewish guy. Okay, so now look at North Carolina. You have a black Republican male and a white Jewish male for the Democrats. So we have the Republicans and the Democrats. So I'm getting all kind of
calls. And there's one more thing.
What's that?
Josh Stein is a Harvard graduate. And I think he went to Harvard Law School or Harvard undergrad. And you have Mark Robinson, who's blue collar.
What does blue collar mean?
Well, you've got a blue and a white collar, so I'm not sure.
Well, but wait a minute.
It's a working.
Odell have on a nice monogram shirt who has blue collar, you're right, and has cufflinks and all that good stuff. So, you know, you're absolutely right.
He's looking good.
Listen, Bill. Just a poor boy from the dirt roads of South Carolina who, in God we trust, decided to bless. And I have on one of my nicest shirts today. And I think my wife said this one her favorite shirt. So, you know, because I had an interview for some people in Washington, D.C. early today to do a recording. So
you were with Washington, D.C. What? What happened?
Back to the story. A prominent, and this doesn't have anything to do with the interview I did earlier today.
I took the trash out about an hour ago.
A prominent media source, I think I'm going to say it like that, contacted me to...
National media?
National, yeah. This is big time. Wow. This is big time, y'all. And they wanted me to comment on a story about Mark Robinson and how that black people shouldn't support and or endorse him. And somehow, and I think I know the person who did it, because I got a mysterious call last night saying, hey, Odell, listen, man, some national media was looking for a well-respected black leader in Greensboro who can really speak to why Mark Robinson is trash and yada, 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 yada. Now, it's almost like that person, Bill, who already put your name down for a job reference, and then they call you and say, hey, I just want to let you know I put your name down for a job reference, because when I got this mysterious call from this national publication, of course, I didn't know the number. So according to what kind of mood I'm in, I don't answer calls for foreign numbers because I'm thinking it's spam, you know, spam.
Yeah, trying to sell you a copy machine.
Exactly. And then later on, I listen to the message and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I want to talk to you. Now, listen, let everybody know, Odell is a true and blue Democrat, you know, lifelong Democrat, registered Democrat. How can I say this? Because I don't like to parse my words, but Mark Robinson, some people, and I'm not going to say his people, about a month ago, some people asked me, hey, Odell, we really would like to talk to you about hiring you, because people, many know I'm a political consultant also, to help us strategize a way that Mark Robinson can get FaceTime with leaders of the African-American church or an African-American community, business leaders, blase, blase, and do strategy to help us. And we would offer you a very shiny penny.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, gentlemen, I appreciate you all thinking of my skill set like that, but I choose not to. Right? So I said, no. And it's interesting that I've gotten not really approached by Josh Stein, and Josh Stein, for the audience, is the Democrat governor, Jewish, who's running, who says, Odell, I really, you know, would like to talk to you about him coming to the church. You know, we do all that kind of stuff. And
that's an honor. I mean, you got to be invited. That's just, you don't show up.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, when you think about it, though, Bill,
And you have a huge congregation.
We have a huge congregation.
Online and also in person.
Yes, but it puts you in a place where you have a huge responsibility to protect the church from being used, misused, manipulated, and everything else. So I said no to those who offered me, who wanted to hire me to help strategize to put the Black Republican candidate for governor in sacred and certain places for African-American leaders, saying, well, if Odell bring him in, he must be okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said no to that. Then I get the call from somebody saying, hey, just want to give you a heads up that this national media is going to contact you to trash Mark Robinson. And I thought about it, Bill. What would be my response when this person called me? What do you think my response would be, Bill?
I don't know.
Let me tell you what my response is going to be. I'll tell you my answer later on in the show. But one thing about it is that I practice a form of politics that lets compete as political competitors, not political enemies. But the person told me, who called me, person that also have to be African-American Democrat, who called me to give me the heads up, i.e. like the person calls and said, hey, I use you for a reference. And he said, Odell, if you do this story, it'd be good for you. I'm like, oh, okay, well, how would this be good for the good-looking, slim and trim Democratic Black guy? He said, because you have a reputation in the community that a lot of people don't respect you, and they see you as an Uncle Tom. Now, Bill, for a Black person, Uncle Tom is just as bad as somebody calling you Uncle Tom is just as bad as someone calling you the N-word.
Oh, really?
Yes. So I know you wouldn't even know that, you know. But I remember when I was younger in South Carolina in second and third grade, when we were going through school integration and all the fighting and everything, if someone yelled the N-word at me, it would put me in rage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just had to fight in the middle of the class. That's it. Hey, except for lunch. We had to eat lunch first. We had to eat lunch before we fought.
You had your priorities.
Hey, I had my priorities, exactly. So when he said that, it's like, well, a lot of people in this community, a lot of Black people in the community see you, since you're always around white people, since you will endorse a Republican or a Democrat, since you're around Jewish people, that, you know, this will really kind of really let people know that you black, you know?
Who's telling you this? Another Black person?
Another Black person who called me to tell me that this national media organization was going to contact me to do a hit job on Mark Robinson. And it's like, it's really insulting in a crazy way.
So he wanted you to stand up for Mark to be more Black.
No, to beat Mark up in the national media.
Oh.
Because of his comments and everything else, which I don't agree with. But what I don't agree with even more is for someone to have the audacity to call me and say, you're not Black enough. And if you were Black enough, you would beat this guy up in media to show people who think that you are Uncle Tom and you're not Black enough, to show them that you are Black enough and you're down for the cause.
Wow.
And you know what I say to that?
What?
Kiss my grits. Almost had you there for a goal. Yeah. Looked at me like oh, you know, almost had me there.
I almost had to hit the censor button.
So, Bill, what do you think when someone says you're not Black enough, you're not this, and they use words like that to try to get to motivate you or persuade you or manipulate you to do what they want you to do? And the person said, because you're so well thought of and so well respected and so influential that if you says that Mark Robinson is horrible, then people will believe you, Odell, because you said it.
Oh,
but
wow.
There's other guy who said, but there's other people call you Uncle Tom.
Wow.
And if you say that, they'll respect you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who respects me. No, that's not true. That's true. I just lied. I don't care who likes me. if it's two things on the table, like and respect, I'd rather you respect me than like me.
Yeah. Okay.
So even though they call me behind closed doors, behind my back, they may call me Tom, but they respect me enough to say, but if you say it, Odell, you're influential enough, you're powerful enough. If you say it, that will really hurt him.
Wow. Wow.
What kind of mess is this, Bill? Wow.
You know, in the South, they have a saying, and it's a saying to substitute another saying. And I think it's the Southern one that says, aren't you special? That's what I told him. Aren't you special?
But listen, Bill, I love my relationship with you.
And vice versa.
You're a good friend of mine.
Thank you.
Now, I'm not sitting here saying, I don't see that you're white. I don't see that you're whatever. You're my friend.
Yeah.
And so the people who lie, in my opinion, say they don't see color. I think they don't see color the way the common conversation's about, but I think everybody could see that I'm black and good looking. I mean, Stevie Wonder could see that Odell is black and good looking and got on a nice shirt. Even Stevie Wonder could see that, Bill.
Yeah.
But back to the issues. Why do people try to manipulate you, me, and others to carry their water for them? Because the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So if some people don't like Bill Goebel, then other people who like Bill Goebel have to be the enemy? No.
No, no. We've gotten into such a divisive situation in this country where there is no common ground. You just either dislike them and hate them, or it's nothing, all or nothing. And I think we've got to get past that. And, you know, part of it is brought out by Trump, by the way he's made people divisive.
But these are black people. Wait a minute, the folks who know, no, I agree with you saying about Trump. I agree with that 100%. But the people who call me,
yeah,
were black folk wanted me to attack another black man for them.
That's
what did Trump has to do with that?
That's a form of manipulation and disrespect. That's how I see it.
But they said, Odell, if you want to build your, no, rebuild your reputation in the hood, if you just do this for me, if you just do this for me, you can rebuild your reputation so they quit talking about you.
Well, I like it when they talk about you. I think it's good. I think, you know, you can't please everybody. I think I've learned that last 9 months.
You think so?
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, you go from Boy Scouts where you all work together and try and get things done, and you focus on the kids, and to these people that, man, they are just nasty, nasty, you know. I had one guy at the voting booth when I was getting signatures. I asked him if he would sign. And he goes, no, I know everything about you. I have no interest in being near you. Stay away from me. Wow. It's just ugly. And I just talked to someone that was a Republican, and I shared with her as part of the story what happened. And so I just walked away from the fellow. I figured, you know, no sense going in confrontation. I'm not going to do that. So I saw him talking to her. So I walked over and I said, hey, you know, her and I go to the same church. We worked in the same youth ministry, and, you know, on and on. And he kind of looked at me, and I said, wouldn't you like...
How close was you to it, Bill?
Probably about 2 feet.
So what is personal space for a white person? And then I'll tell you what personal space is for a black person.
Well, I was close enough that he could see my eyes. So I wasn't, I'd say 2 feet, 3 feet. And, you know,
you're in his personal space in your mind?
No, but I said to him, would you like to hear my story? And he goes, I know all about you. I said, I was there. You weren't.
Wow.
Let me explain what happened. And I started telling him. He listened for a little bit, and I could tell he was stunned by the fact that I confronted him. And sometimes bullies, you've got to confront. And what I found is these are a bunch of bullies. And one of the things at the school board in Boy Scouts, we teach anti-bullying. And these adults are bullies. They're setting a bad example. And what you just happened to you, someone was trying to bully you.
Well, yeah, you're right, Bill. But back to the difference between black and white. 3 feet is right outside of people's personal space. Black folk, we get up nose to nose.
Do you really?
We get nose to nose. Oh, and as long as you don't touch me or push you or bump me in the chest, you're good.
Oh, my
See,
gosh.
That's kind of how
raise your voice and just scream.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like, okay.
You know, I do.
You know?
If they start raising their voice to me, I said, why are you shouting? I'm not deaf.
Because we shout, Bill. We shout. We're black folk who shout, man. We could be shouting, talking about a basketball game, and we enjoy it. So you're like, what they arguing about? We're not arguing. We're just doing welcome and greeting and salutations. That's
it's,
all.
It's interesting. You know, is I worked in international division of a corporation, major corporation, and I would go around the world to different cultures. And, you know, some of the cultures we were told will shout at you, but they don't mean anything by it. You know, in our culture, that means they're upset. Other cultures, like, for example, in China, if you said, somebody said to you, that's very difficult. As an American, you would say, okay, that's hard to do, but I could still do it. Well, in China, that means no. It's dishonorable to say no, so they say it's very difficult.
So does China have the Black Power sign? Because your president, your former president, Donald J. Trump, he always give the fist.
Yeah.
Somebody need to let him know that's the Black Power sign. No. I'm serious. Somebody need to let Trump know every time he put that fist up like that, that's Black Power. He stole that from Black Power, Bill. Tell him, write him, call him, home and pigeon him and said, Trump, man, you putting that Black Power sign up. And speaking of Trump and Black Power, Trump endorsed Mark Robinson for governor of North Carolina and said that Mark Robinson is better than Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah, I've heard that.
On steroids. I've and I'm like, that. Trump, what's wrong with you? Don't you know, black folk, we hold Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. next to Jesus?
You got it. I was at a friend, went in his house. He had a picture of Jesus, Martin Luther King, and John F. Kennedy.
They go on a black velvet type.
Yeah. And he had the Last Supper, and there were all black people in it.
You didn't know the Last Supper was on black folks?
I looked at that and I said, that's a black Jesus. And he goes, yeah, why? I said, somebody jacked up my Jesus.
You know what? And you think about it, though. Josh Stein. So Josh Stein is kind of mild mannered guy, speaks low, and Robinson comes up and just speaks, I mean, big voice. You know, he can light a room up, man, and just go from there, have a couple nicks in his armor. And so we believe, for the audience around the country, that the North Carolina gubernatorial race is going to be one of the most expensive of all time. It's going to be nasty. And you just sit back and get the Jiffy Pop popcorn, because we have a African-American Republican and a white Jewish Democrat. And somehow, and I know it's going to happen because this is America, race and bias and stereotypes, all that's going to find its way in the race, but it's not going to be by the candidates. It's going to be such and such and such endorse this ad, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Such and such, such endorse. So why does politics has to be so bare knuckles, hardcore, and everything else, Bill? And then we'll talk about our buddy, Congressman Mark Walker, in a runoff against Addison McDowell, who President Trump, former President Trump, how's Trump doing anyway, endorsed? I mean, he's still going in and out of courtrooms and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I bet you he has a pretty big legal bill every month.
Didn't he pay off? He had to pay, not pay off, excuse me, had to put up
a bond.
Of how much?
I think it was $90 million. So if you figure out what a bond costs for that, because if you put up a bond, you got to pay 10% down, and you don't get that back.
He didn't put down cash?
Well, I'm sure he negotiated something, but it was in the millions of dollars that he had to put the bond down for.
And for what? What was it?
He was, originally it was for rape, and then after that, defamation of character. He just keeps talking bad about this lady, and they keep tacking on more and more.
Why?
And more.
Why would he keep talking bad about a person and knowing that they're going to fine him? Did he?
I think he looks at it as if he's being martyred and that he's being picked on. And I think it goes to his base that feels, you know, his base believes he could do. Yeah, I remember one time when he was running for president the first time, he said, I could walk down Fifth Avenue and take a gun and shoot somebody, and my followers would deny the fact. And when he first said that, I said, oh, that's just tongue in cheek. That's crazy. Yeah. Uh-huh. But now I believe that's true.
But yes and no. I say no. And you're like, well, you're a Democrat. Of course you're going to say no. Well, North Carolina is a purple, red leaning, swing state, right leaning, but we are in the Bible Belt. So remember this, these things, what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say who Jesus would vote for, Trump or Biden. That's not even fair. So we're not even going to say that. But what we will say is this, though. If someone walks down Fifth Avenue, take a gun and shoot and kill an innocent person, I would think that Bible believing Christians, along with every other denomination, religion, culture, anything, would say that person who committed murder is wrong.
I would hope so. I would hope so. The, you know, his legal tactics are delay, delay, appeal, delay, delay, appeal. And, you know, if you look at legal cases, a lot of times people settle, not because they feel that they're right or they're wrong. They can't afford the legal fees anymore.
Mm.
And so they just stop. And Trump has got a ton of money. So he's spending it on lawyers to get delays and finding out people that might have, you know, like the lady in Atlanta. You know, there's some questions about her and appointing the special prosecutor. And
questions?
Yeah.
Questions? It's more than questions, Bill. I mean, you're talking about Fannie, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, listen. Let's be fair. Fannie had a lot going on down there. Fannie had a lot going on. Now, did she break the law by messing around with her boyfriend? That's different. But let's be fair. According to what I saw on TV from Fannie's own mouth, Fannie had some things going on down there. Her and the gentleman were romantically involved.
Yep. But what does that have to do with the case, the legal case?
That's what the law is there to say. That's what a judge will find out. Did she or didn't she violate the law?
Yep.
Because in spite of everything, we have to say what's good for the goose mm-hmm. is good for the gander.
Well, if she violated the law, that's one thing. If she made some poor judgment, which I suspect she did, that's another thing.
But the
law is the law. And that's why there's blindfolds on Lady Justice.
Well, but we think from Black community that sometimes Lady Justice
might peek out
a lot and see, or even if she doesn't peek, she may know the voice of the good looking Black guy, Odell, speaking all loud. And Bill Gobel, who's just nice and calm and cool like a cucumber. But let's talk about something else that's not cool.
Okay.
Runoff election. Our guy, former Congressman Mark Walker, running against Addison McDowell in the redrawn 6th District. Just want everybody to understand, redrawn now is very, very rural, to the point that the Democrat representative didn't even run. She said, listen, it's like leaning 14, 16, 18 points. It's not even worth running. Now, Walker came in second on a runoff. And it's like, wait a minute, who's Addison McDowell? Addison McDowell is a young man that, according to records, former President Trump endorsed him after him and Trump Jr. went hunting or something like that. It was just a crazy race. But stuff like that happened in North Carolina. What do you know about that race, Bill?
I don't know anything about Addison. I know a lot about Mark and his character. So that, and also Castellini and his character.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Castellini.
Yeah. And he almost got 20%. So he would have been a few more points and he would have been this runoff as opposed to Mark. I was kind of shocked, to be honest with you.
In what way?
I thought it would be a runoff between Mark Walker and Castellini, because Castellini's been running for 3 years. He ran before 2 years ago, and he's been running ever since then. So I thought he would do it. But obviously Trump's endorsement helped Addison.
Got it. Now let me ask a question now. Did I ever tell you what I'm going to do about the offer I got to beat up Mark Robinson on the national media?
Did Trump call you? He's smiling.
So going back to Walker's race, I'll tell you, hang in the show, I'll tell you. It's almost like that cliffhanger when you go to commercial, something like this. Yeah. So do you think that Castellini, who had 20-something percent,
mm-hmm.
will endorse Congressman Mark Walker or Addison McDowell, or stay out of it?
That's a great question.
Did Trump call you?
Yeah, I don't know. But Castellini hasn't called me or Walker or Addison. I don't know. That's a great question. If I was Mark Walker, I would ask him for the endorsement for sure.
How about Bo Hines? Bo Hines had like 15 to 18%. Now, it's interesting to the national audience. Bo Hines is a young man who Trump endorsed the last time, 2 years ago, I think, who was running for Congress. So Trump had Bo Hines in, who he's endorsed. He has in the past Addison McDowell, who he's endorsed this time. You had Mark Walker running ads with him and Trump with the thumb up. At least, you know, they didn't do the Black Power sign. And it was just like, who could out-Trump Trump?
What does that thumb up mean?
You asking me? I mean, it looks kind of jokey to me the way Trump does it. And it's almost like someone says, okay, both of y'all put y'all thumbs up. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I think thumbs up means it's good or something. I don't know. I'm going to have to Google it and find out.
But you know the picture I'm talking about. When you see him in pictures, it's almost like he does the thumbs up and everybody else does the thumb up too, who's standing by him. And he's always to the left in the picture and the person's always to his right. So maybe someone told him that's his good side. But I don't see him and other white guys in the picture doing Black Power.
Yeah, maybe they're missing an opportunity.
I didn't even see Mark Robinson doing Black Power.
Yeah. Well, I think in District 6 now, there's not a lot of black people.
It's not. It wasn't. It wasn't at all. No. So it's interesting. So now Mark Walker is going to be in the runoff against Addison McDowell.
In May, right?
So my suggestion is whoever the two or three, well, really just, it was a lot of people in the race, but some of them didn't get that many people. So let's just say Bo Hines and
Castellini,
if they endorse Addison McDowell or they endorse Walker, that's going to be the big deal. But if you go against Trump, then now all of a sudden you become a target. Because I think even though Trump has his share of issues going on right now, he finds a way to come down here and keep his finger in North Carolina politics. Why do you think that's so important to him? Is the fact that Walker is his enemy, or because he's endorsed a little bit of everybody except for Walker?
Mark has been bootlegged and kicked around by Trump and Mark Meadows and all those guys. You know, Mark's just trying to do a good job for the citizens as a statesman, and they're all against him. I mean, even when he ran the first time, you know, Berger and all those guys came out against him, and he had to run his own campaign. Even the local Republican Party didn't really endorse him.
What is it about Republicans that don't like other Republicans?
That's a great question. I've been on the other end of that, and I've been trying to figure that out since it started. The only thing I can figure out is it's a power thing. It's a control thing. They feel that they can't control Mark because he didn't come up through the system. I think they feel there's, you know, in business, you hire people because they're good for the job. They can do the best job. You don't hire somebody just because, oh, they were the, you know, vice chair. And if you go and you look for, when the CEO comes in, you look for the best candidate. Sometimes they're in the company. You would hope they would be in the company, but sometimes they're not. You have to go outside. I'll give you an example, the Boy Scouts. When the Boy Scouts needed a new CEO this past time, for years, they would pick from their own internal group of professional scouters. So if you were an outside business person, like if you were Donald Trump, you could never become president of the Boy Scouts because you didn't come up through the professional scouting. Well, they've changed that. The board of directors changed that a couple of years ago. And so now they brought in this guy, Roger Cohn, who ran a $11 billion tech company.
Wow.
Eagle Scout, didn't need a job. You know, he was set for life, but he decided to come in and see if he can help straighten scouting out. But they brought in a business person. And guess what he did? He's bringing in his own people. He's bringing in his own CFO, the guy who's been there for years, who I knew is great, but he wants his own people.
Wow.
And so
he's bringing his own team.
Yeah. So what I found with the Republicans is they're the old school, like the old Boy Scouts. You've got to work as a precinct captain. You've got to come up and volunteer so many hours. Then you get your turn to become an officer.
Your turn.
Yep. Then you will get your turn to be, they said to Mark Walker, I know they said this, you've already had your chance. Now it's someone else's turn. Now, Think about that for a minute.
Wow.
Who's the right, in your business, you're thinking about who can do the job the best.
You've already had your turn. Now it's someone else's turn. So if I interpreted that to, hey, you've already had your turn. Now is the good looking black Democrat, slim and trim Odell Cleveland's turn to run in the Republican Party. You think that'd work?
No. Absolutely.
Well, give me your interpretation of what they meant by you already had your turn. Now it's someone else's. Who's the someone else?
Castellini. They wanted Castellini to be in because he'd been working all these years. And
oh, look, so they're mad at Mark then.
Yeah.
If you say that, then they might not. Do you think out of spite they will endorse Addison McDowell, who's not from this area? Because Mark is their neighbor.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. I think they won't. I think if the local party had something to do with it. Now,
make a political enemies, not competitors.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, that's one of the things that frustrates me about politics is people are afraid to run because they have to go through the ringer. And good business people and good people go, I don't want to have to deal with all that. And, you know, so you don't get the cream of the crop to run something. You get people that it's their turn.
Well, how about qualifications?
Does qualifications count? I'll give you an example. The guy who ran for Republican Party, I'm not going to name his name, for Congress in District 6 against Kathy Manning.
Oh, man.
The guy is not the sharpest tack in the box.
Dahl Goble? Please don't mention a name.
No name.
You know, okay, no go name. Ahead.
And, you know, he's insecure and defensive.
You know the guy listened to our show, right?
Oh, I hope he does.
Okay.
And you know, he's just insecure and defensive and is a horrible speaker. And I don't think he can get his way out of a paper bag.
But he ran and was endorsed and supported by the Guilford County GOP to run for Congress of the United States of America.
Yeah, against
the most powerful country in the world.
Yeah, against a woman that was chairman of the Community Foundation, helped raise $80 million for the Tanger Center.
I served on the board with her. She's a very good leader.
Very strong lawyer, very smart business person, married to a very good business person. And you're saying, oh, that's not qualified. We need this guy that can't speak, that is insecure. He'd be a better person representing us than this other person. You know, and you think about that from a business standpoint, you go, yeah, let's put someone that's running Congress that has all these issues as Speaker of the House.
Okay, Goble, Bill. Bill, you coming in hot, baby. I mean, wait a minute. What would Arnold Schwarzenegger say about all this, Bill?
I'm glad you asked. In Cigar Aficionado,
Listen, ain't no aficionado in the hood where I'm coming from. Ain't no aficionado.
You never fished for an auto?
No.
They're hard to find, I can tell you. But you think, oh God, Bill's getting all his information for Cigar Aficionado. But
what is the cigar?
It's a book. They bring in people to talk, and they have art.
Oh, so it's a magazine.
Magazine.
Okay. When I was in college, I used to read a magazine called High Time Magazine.
High Time Magazine.
Yes. You never heard of that.
I never heard of that.
Never heard. No. It's not a did anything. It's just High Time Magazine. So you looked at your aficionado and I looked at my High Time Magazine and now I can relate. Well, so this is what, a cigarette, marijuana? Yeah. What are y'all smoking up in here?
Cigar, and this is December 2023, and it says Arnold and the Future of America. So, you know, I was curious what a guy that smokes cigars would have to say. Would he be even coherent to offer things? The one thing I did admire about Arnold is, you know, the state capitol was a non-smoking area, and he liked to smoke cigars.
Mm-hmm.
So they wouldn't let him smoke in the state capitol. So you know what he did?
What did he do?
He put a tent outside that had heat and air conditioning, had couches, had tables, and he would hold meetings out there. He showed a picture of it. It's very glamorous. and they would sit out there and smoke cigars. So the state legislator tried to pass a bill banning his tent.
Oh, come on,
in California,
man.
And it didn't pass.
It's just petty stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Petty stuff.
So here's what he had to say, and I find this interesting. I'm going to read it. And he was being interviewed, and the interviewer said, China, North Korea, Russia, Iran, do you see one as a more significant problem for America than the others? And where do you see creating a peace in the future? That's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
And Schwarzenegger, it's a little bit long, but I'm going to read it.
No, please, please, please. We want to hear from the Terminator.
Yeah. And he says, you know, it's all about coexisting. I'm a believer in live and let live. I'm not one of those that say my way or the highway. Everyone has challenges. Russia has challenges economically. China has challenges economically. United States has challenges economically. And so does the European Union. The question is, how do we work together and we all benefit and we can all make some money and get along and we can work together on our social issues? It's an art to do that, and it's not easy. To stay away from each other and not talk and not to hang out together is the worst thing that you can do, because nothing gets accomplished this way. We've got to be together and we've got to have relationships. That's the important thing. He says, I'll give you an example. My father-in-law, Sergeant Shriver, who was part of the Kennedy clan, he used to go for Arm & Hammer to Russia, which was communist at the time, the Soviet Union. And he made great deals for the oil industry.
Mm.
And I said to him, how do you go to a communist country as an American and make them feel comfortable that you're going to bring a good deal and be honest? And he said, it's all about finding common interest, common ground. He said, I met the guy that was in charge of all of the Russia oil, and I had dinner with him. We never talked about business. I found out that he had children, that he loves fishing, he loves cigars, he loved bourbon. So we started talking about those things. I invited him to come to Hyannisport to go fishing with me. He immediately invited me to go fishing with him. We forged a relationship before we did any business. He's a father, and he's concerned, so concerned about his children. And I'm so concerned about my kids. And the one thing that led to the next, we worked out a great deal, great, great deals about oil and social issues. He said to me, you have to find common ground. You have to find common things. And then you realize you are human being like everyone else. It doesn't matter if you're from China, from Russia, if you are from America, you need to work on a human level and not just make enemies of each other. And what I found is at least the local people, Republicans, they love to make enemies of people, and they don't even take the time to understand. And, you know, like the guy that was at the voting place that was asking for signature, he was all about hate. You could see it. You could hear it in his voice. He didn't want to talk about anything. He had already made his mind up, and he was going to hate me.
Mm.
And the man never met me before.
Bill, you're not a Democrat, you know, so you're a Republican, so.
You know something? I'm a human being.
Wow.
That's the level we got to talk to each other.
Wow. Wow. You are a human being, my friend. We all are human beings.
Yes.
And sometimes in the throes of people calling you and saying, Odell, would you mind doing a negative hit job on this person? Or Odell, do you mind supporting this person? Or Odell, this and that. You know, to your point, and I don't even know why I'm sharing this, but I'll share it. I've been blessed, Bill, to live the life where we were poor, we were Black in South Carolina in the 60s, where being Black by itself was not a good thing. Being poor was the worst thing, and being in a divorced single mom family living in public housing was even more horrible. Our family has experienced a lot of negative things, not just the N-word, anything like that. But my mother had a stroke, went to the hospital, and they turned her away. People know that story. And 3 or 4 days later, she was allowed to go back in, had to force the white doctor to let her in. He kept telling her to come back on the free clinic day. But my mother had health insurance because she's worked for Manhattan Shirt Factory. So the way she was treated has affected her for her whole life, because anybody know anything about a stroke, minutes and second count. So just imagine you having a stroke and you're sitting at home because they won't admit you for 2 or 3 days. So my whole life has been affected by that. But God has blessed me that now I sit in a very powerful and influential position in a very powerful and influential community in a very powerful and influential state. But I understand that the reserve parking spaces, the reserve sitting places, the prestige and stuff is not about me, Bill. It's about the position that I hold. So I had to make sure that I held a position and the position didn't hold me. So talking about being a human, that when I'm not in this position anymore, when I don't sit in this seat, I won't get these phone calls saying, Odell, you're this and you're that from national people. And by the way, it wasn't former President Trump who called me. It wasn't him. So let me start, you know, clear some of that out. But people will try to manipulate seats of power and influence for them. And I think that's what a lot of this election is about, that these have all these big PACs and these other groups of folks who manipulate, support, demonize others to get their person in place to be elected. And when they become elected, then that person's beholden to them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say someone couldn't be bought, or someone's their own man or their own woman, or they can't control you, then that's what you're saying. But if that's the case, Bill, you can't be bought. You can't be controlled. You, your own mind, you're an independent thinker. Why would they put you in office?
Well, in my case, running for school board, it's all about the kids. So if you believe that I can do something to help the kids and the parents, then I'm your candidate. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, Ronald Reagan used to wear a suit.
I like Ronald Reagan. I like Ronald Reagan.
We miss him.
Yeah, I like Ronald Reagan. Now, he wasn't perfect because he still got the issues with that welfare queen Cadillac thing he did in California on black folk. But mm-hmm. All in all, I like Ronald Reagan. And that's maybe why people have different opinions than me, because like, you're supposed to hate someone. No, I ain't hating no one. I don't have time to hate people, man.
Yeah, hate's on another level.
Yeah, I don't have time to hate people, because when you hate people, you have to carry that burden around with you.
Yep. And it eats you up. It gets you sick. Well, Ronald Reagan every day wore a suit and tie to work. And somebody asked him, you know, you're the president of the United States. You could come in blue jeans and Saturday and stuff. He goes, no, it's respect for the position.
Right.
What it represents.
Right.
And I respect that he said that. You know, the thing is that we as individuals have a choice, and our choice is to do the right thing and focus on the right thing, or be manipulated by the party or people within the party to do things for the party. And, you know, I've never been a party person. I'm running independent, and they make it extremely difficult to do that. And so
what does that mean, though? You said you're running independent. For our people who listen to us in Montana, or listen to us in California now, or listen to us in California, what does running independent in North Carolina mean, so they understand what you're saying, sir?
Yeah. When you go down to the Board of Election and you decide I'm going to run for an office, they ask you, what party would you like to, are you part of? Democrat, Republican, Libertarian. I think there's a Green. Well, you can start your own party.
The Good Looking Black Guy Party?
I didn't see that.
You didn't see that? You didn't see my picture, Bill?
I didn't see that.
They took my picture down already.
I asked, and they said, no, we can't find it in the file.
Oh, man.
Or you can run as unaffiliated.
Yes, sir.
And that means you have no party or anything. So if you run for Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, or Green, because they're existing party, you just put your name on and pay your $104 or whatever it is. If you run for unaffiliated, they go, you have to get 4% of the registered voters, not the voters, the registered voters in your district. In my case, it was 2,132 signatures to give me permission to be on the ballot.
Wow.
And you have a deadline to do it. You have to do it by noon on election day, which was November 7th. And so I started in September, and I stood outside of grocery stores. I got kicked out of grocery stores parking lots. I waited for the store manager to change and went back. And I got more signatures. I went door to door. I would carry around the signature sheet with me to meetings, and people would see me and I'd tell them what I'm doing and I get them to sign. And then eventually more people helped me get signatures and more.
Wow.
I can remember the first time I went out door to door. I've never gone door to door. And I know what it's like when somebody comes to my door unannounced.
Yeah. It's yeah. You're what, sitting there. Who is, this? You done, who is this person?
Yeah. Who is this guy? And so I felt like I was intruding somebody's.
You were intruding.
Yeah. I believe
you
I was.
Were,
yeah.
You were intruding.
So it was hard to go up and knock on a door. And
well, why did you do it? Why didn't you quit? Why didn't you quit? I mean,
it's about the kids. Every time I got a signature, I said, there's one more for the kids. So to get 2,132 actual signatures, you have to get about 3,000 because some people sign and they're not in your district. No one knows what district they're in.
Wow.
And so I got over 3,100 in by the time, and we're waiting for the Board of Election to certify the names. They had 1,900 on November 7th certified, and they still had another 600 or 700 to look through.
You know, are you tough or just plain old stubborn and ornery?
Yes to both. Yes to both. And don't ask my wife. Okay.
Well, didn't somebody make a post or something about you or on your signatures or something like that? And I thought I saw you on either, I see, it's been so busy, either on TV talking about this on the newspaper or on social nets. Wasn't the media following you around?
Yeah, they were. I put out a press release where I was going to be getting signatures, and I was at a polling place getting signatures as people exited.
Yes.
I was getting signatures, and the press showed up. You know, I was in the back of the building because that's when they where they come out.
Yeah.
And they came and they said, "Where's Bill Goebel? We want to talk to Bill Goebel." And all these people that were running were wow. like hoping they were going to get the PR, and none of them did. They came back and interviewed me, and they did it a couple times, which was very nice of them to do.
So everyone's pulling for, do you consider yourself an underdog, or you just consider yourself Bill Goebel goes to Washington?
I don't know. That's a great question. You know I'm doing the right thing. So I feel comfortable with that. I feel at peace with that. It was probably the most stressful thing I've ever had to do in my life.
Wow.
Because it takes you out of your comfort zone. It's one thing to hand somebody a piece of literature and say, hey, would you vote for me?
Right.
It's another thing to stop them and make them print their name, their address, their zip code, their date of birth, and then sign.
Wow.
Most people, you know, were like, I'm not signing anything. I don't know what this is.
Exactly. Do you had more males, more females, more blacks, more whites, more young, more old? What was the demographic? What was your demographic of that you had the most success with?
All of them were good looking.
Okay.
Is that a political answer or not?
That is a political answer. Speaking of political answers, our good friend John Hardister, who was running for North Carolina mm-hmm. Labor Commission.
For John.
John, I thought it was a lock for John.
Me too. He worked so hard. He went all over the state for about a year and posted on Facebook and Twitter or X. And I mean, the guy was everywhere. He even took his car and wrapped it.
He did?
Yeah, it looked like a NASCAR.
That little red car he drives all the time?
He wrapped it and it said Hardister for Secretary of Labor. And the guy not only beat him, he beat him by a lot. And,
who was the person?
Luke something Farley.
Luke Skywalker?
Luke Farley. Yeah, I met him. He was at a polling place that I came up. I didn't know who he was. I never met the guy.
Is he from Greensboro? He's from this area?
You know, I don't even know where he's from.
Wow.
I don't even know.
So he came up to you and said what?
Well, he was handing out literature and it said, you know, Luke Farley for Department of Secretary of Labor. And I said, do you know him? And he says, that's me. I said, oh, okay. I'm nice to meet you.
Wow.
And I introduced myself. He didn't know who I was either. So we were on even ground, but he was out there doing literature.
So tell me this, as we head toward close, what's the psyche of a candidate out there holding literature in the cold, hoping someone would vote for him or her, or in your case, you are even more determined, desperate, or stubborn because you are violating people's personal space, asking them to do something for you that took a lot of effort. And you ask a lot of individuals who said, I know you, I don't like you, I hate you, and they still signed.
Well, that's right. And there are a lot of people that said, I saw what you went through. Where do I sign?
Wow.
And how do I help? You know, we never had a fundraiser and we raised over $25,000 just by people sending me checks.
25 big ones?
Yeah. Yeah. Around 25 is what we ended up with.
We call that bread in the Black community.
Yeah.
You raise some bread, man.
And I tell you what, and I was with a guy that worked for the GOP, the North Carolina GOP. He was an assistant to the head of the GOP, or okay. Worked on his staff. And we started talking and stuff. And I think he knew a little bit about my story. He's a little set off. And as we got to talk more and more and more, we got on the subject of fundraising and raising money. And I shared with him how much I raised. And he goes, you raised that much for a school board?
Wow.
He said, people don't raise that much for running for a state office. And so anyhow, we've been blessed. We've been blessed with people. It's humbling when people give you a check. It's humbling when people sign their name. I think what I'm going to try and do, I've got copies of everything. I'm going to try and send everybody a thank you note.
Wow.
I'm going to try and send everybody a thank you note later on this year. You know, that's going to take a long time to do, but it took me a long time to get their signatures. So I think, you know, if I can send them a thank you note and say, hey, we made it on the ballot. Thank you.
What do you think? What was the age of the youngest person who signed for you and age of the oldest person
first
who signed?
First day voter.
First day voter.
First time they voted.
And they
came out with their family. And there's about 25 or 30 of them the first time they voted. And they were with their parents and everybody was pretty proud. So I took pictures together with them. I said, let me take a picture for you guys to remember.
What's wrong with you, Goble?
Yeah, well, it was. I know how I'd like it if I could show that picture. If first time I voted with my parents, that would be something
wow.
to save. So
wow.
I made sure that I did that for him.
And what was the oldest?
96. Okay. 96. I looked at, no, he didn't even come out of his car.
Wow.
They came out and, you know, took his stuff. There was an area you're not allowed to go.
Right.
Okay. And he was in that area.
Yeah.
So he kept waving over to me. Come here, come here. And I said, I'm not allowed to come over there. And he used some expletives. And he says, I'm so old, they ain't going to care. I said, well, you get me in trouble. He says, don't worry about it, buddy. Uh-huh. So I came over and he says, what are you doing? And he says, now you got to talk up. My wife and I can't hear well.
Wow.
His wife was 92.
Okay.
And I explained what I was doing. He says, give me that piece of paper. He says, I want to sign that.
Wow.
And I think he was 92, as he was born in the, I can't remember the year, but it was a long time ago.
So when it was all said and done and you reached your goal, turn everything in, the deadline, whenever the deadline was, and you said, what was the first thought that literally came to your mind when you walked down to the, wherever you had to turn the stuff in, of course.
Board of election.
Board of election. You made sure you didn't get stopped by the police, no flat tires, so you made it on time. So you walked in, gave all your stuff and turned around and walked out. What was the first emotion you felt?
Well, Dory was there. Portia was there. Will was there. Jim was there. And we all felt a big sigh of relief.
Wow.
Because it was so intense to do that. And, you know, we started on election day at 6:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And we could only go to about 11 o'clock because we had everything in by noon. And I had to make copies and get everything set up. So that day we collected probably 500 signatures,
wow.
maybe a little more.
In one day?
In a half a day.
Wow.
Half a day. And it was so busy that I know I probably missed 20 or 30 people because you can only talk to one person.
At a time.
Yeah. And so people would walk by. And then another time people were signing and people lined up kind of say, what are you doing? To explain what you're doing. So the other thing that really got was interesting, in early voting, people would go in and get the ballot and take it to their car.
Right.
And they would sit in their car and Google the people and make their mind up and what they wanted, and then they would go in and vote. And I usually would go over and see them. You know, somebody's got their window up and their car running and they're reading.
Yeah.
And you wave at them. You don't want to knock on the window.
Right.
They put the window down like, okay, what are you selling? And I explain what I'm doing. They go, yeah, I'm happy to sign.
You know, it's interesting
share one more thing.
Yes.
So I got the signatures done at noon. Do you know what I did at 12:30?
Read your, what's the name of the magazine again?
No, Cigar Fish. No. I went back out campaigning. I started campaigning. I went back out to those polling places and I stood at the exit and I handed people literature. I said, we're on the ballot. We're going to be on the ballot. Please vote for me in November.
Wow. In November, not in May. No, so this is not a runoff. So what's happening in November?
That's the main election. That's still be me, a Democrat and a Republican.
Wow.
And I'm going to campaign in, at the May election.
Wow.
This one, I'll be campaigning there.
Proud of you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for your support. You've been a big supporter. Big supporter. You and Bev.
Well, you know, we do more than just, you got to have more than a pretty, oh, my fault, a pretty face. You know, but hey, listen. I'm mad at nobody, you know, it's just interesting.
Yeah.
So, but this is not for the faint of heart, though.
No. No, you got to be dedicated to it. You got to have it's almost a ministry. I view it as. And, you know, if God doesn't want me to get elected, I'm good with that. I'm very good with that. I got a lot of other things to do. But if this is where he wants me, then I'm all in.
Well, state of North Carolina, 16 electoral college votes. Last time I counted. Swing state, purple state. You know, people say what they want to. We have the gubernatorial race with the Republican candidate, black gentleman, Mark Robinson, who's a Republican, the Democratic candidate, white Jewish gentleman, Josh Steins, who's Democrat. So just there, the dynamics there. And if that's not enough for you in the national audience, get to Jiffy Pop Popcorn, because we have a runoff in District 6, the redraw in District 6 with former Congressman Mark Walker. And he's running against Addison McDowell. I think he was a lobbyist who Trump endorsed. And now it's going to be interesting to see the other people, the other candidates who was in District 6 who didn't make it in the first or second place, who do they endorse? That's going to be the tricky part. Who do they endorse? And we had our good guy, John Hardister. Bill, you said he got beat pretty good, so it didn't work out for John. You think that some of what John got involved with the Guilford County GOP had something to do with it?
Yeah, I don't know. He got beat by a lot, so I don't think it was that. If it was close, I might say yes, but I don't think so. I think who knows why they picked this other guy. He came out of nowhere. So, but John will do something else. He's a good guy. He'll end up doing something else. We're going to get together and have some dinner or something. We need to close. We're past an hour.
I know, but guess what? We're talking about the Terminator. What is the Terminator's final words?
Terminator's final word. I'll be back.
Love you, my friend.
Love you too. Bye-bye. Bye.
Find Bill and Odell online at thecommonground.show. This podcast is a production of BG Ad Group. All rights reserved.
This podcast is brought to you by Yes Weekly, the Triad's largest circulated and best read weekly magazine. You can also find us online at yesweekly.com and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Yes Weekly, your trusted news leader for local arts, entertainment, music, food, and more for nearly 18 years.
Whether you're a big, medium, or small business, managing and growing the bottom line is important. Focus CFO brings the experience and financial acumen of a Fortune 100 chief financial officer to your company at a fraction of the cost. P&L help, internal reporting processes, or any business transitions or events, Focus CFO will help you and your team have a CFO in your company's back pocket. Focus CFO. Learn more at FocusCFO.com.